as you are able. If it's difficult to stand, just put your hand over your heart. In Hebrews chapter 11, there is a very long list of great people of faith. And therefore, when we start here in Hebrews, it's taking up what we do with that knowledge of their lives. So in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with the first verse, the word of the Most Holy God says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured much hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, when you all saw the sermon title, Losing Weight, you thought I was getting up here to brag, didn't you? Another five, by the way. But I'm just surprised at how encumbered we are as we get around. Every Sunday morning when I come into church, unless I catch the Reeves boys out in the parking lot, I'm coming in like this with my arms full and trying to get through. And, you know, if I can time it so I get here about the same time they do, they help carry part of this stuff in for me. I always seem to be carrying a whole bunch of stuff. Do y'all carry a whole bunch of stuff? Now, before you guys start looking at the women's pocketbooks, let me say that you need to take a look at your toolbox, your tool bags, because all those things that you've got in there, you know, that tool that you bought for $300 that you've used once, don't be talking about the pocketbook. Because we know that we might, quote, need it, right? We might need it. I clean my purse out every day, and it still weighs 700 pounds. Because it's full of the stuff that I might need. It doesn't matter that I haven't needed it. I might need it. And we voluntarily end up carrying around a lot of weight. But you know what? It's not just the weight of our physical bodies, and it's not just the weight of all those things we carry around with us in briefcases and pocketbooks and tool bags and grocery bags. There are things that weigh on our soul. There are things that we voluntarily have picked up and carry around with us. One of those things that we carry around that we need to lay aside is guilt. One thing that the devil loves to do is accuse you. He's called the accuser. He's the one that says, well, you know what you did. You know what you did. Guilt is the most useless emotion that human beings have. It's completely worthless. Now, conviction is of the Holy Spirit. Something that says you've done something wrong and you need to change and it spurs you on to change, that is conviction. Guilt is a feeling of worthlessness, and it is a feeling of being mired down. If you feel guilty, it's like trying to walk through mud up to your waist. You just can't move effectively, because every time you make a little bit of progress, the devil will accuse you of that thing that whatever, that regret that you have. It may not have even been a sin. It might have been a missed opportunity. It might have just been, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I had chosen A instead of B. Or those failures that we have, that we all have. Nobody in this room hasn't failed. We've had some sort of failure. We've disappointed ourselves. We've disappointed other people. And if you let that weigh upon you, then you have that guilt that keeps you just barely able to move. And you feel unworthy. We're going to read this together, Romans 8, 1 through 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. You know, things become cliche for a reason. It's because they're true. When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. The devil reminds me of something that I have done that I am sorry for, ashamed of, feel like, you know, why did this happen? Anybody ever gone through a divorce? You know what I'm talking about. When those things happen and you feel, what could I have done? What could have been different? What could have changed this situation? And you feel all of that, and the devil just wants you to feel like it's all your fault. Just look him straight in the eye and say it never happened. Because in the eyes of God, it didn't. Ladies and gentlemen, it says that all of our fails are set as far away from him as east is from west. God declares it null and void. Doesn't mean there's not consequences, but the guilt is null and void. We have no guilt. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. It's just like it never happened. Does anybody in here feel guilty about robbing the Bank of England? Let me see your hand. Feel guilty about robbing the Bank of England? Okay, you know why no hands went up? Because I doubt if any of you have ever been to England, much less robbed the bank. It's the exact same thing with whatever you feel guilty about. Never happened. In the eyes of God, it never happened. Lay the weight of guilt down. Lay aside the weight of fear. Fear does have some good qualities about it. You know, playing on the railroad track, if you're afraid of that, good. If you're afraid to walk across Stone Drive at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, good. You know, some fear is a good thing because it's protective. But I'm talking about fear that leads to cowardice. I'm not talking about healthy fear. I'm talking about unhealthy fear. Another cliche that is true, the definition of fear, false expectations appearing real. Anybody here ever worry about something that never happened? Yeah? I'd say most of us, we've worried about something that never happened. I used to call that wasting a good worry. Because I have been afraid of things in my life that never happened. And you know, I had no fear of some of the things that happened that I just wasn't even thinking about. It does no good to fear the future. It does no good. Most of it won't ever happen, and the things that do happen are usually something you can't do anything about anyway. But you have this feeling that something really bad is about to happen. A false expectation appearing real. It's a mask. Sometimes, to quote Jogged Hackney, it's just a really marvelous opportunity. You want to talk about spreading fear? All John had to do was walk up to somebody and say, boy, do I have an opportunity for you.
Golden.
Golden opportunity. That's when you better run. If it's a golden opportunity. 1 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. If you are afraid with unhealthy fear, I want you to know God has absolutely nothing to do with it. Because God gives us power and love and a sound mind. I chose the King James version of this because I don't think any of the rest of them say it quite as well. Some of them, instead of sound mind, say discipline, but I love sound mind. Because fear is an unsound mind. A sound mind. There's an antidote to fear. And the first one is, remember who God is. Why are we afraid? That was a real question. Why are we afraid? What causes us to be afraid? Yeah, it is. We're taught to fear anything that's different. But you don't do that. If you don't do that to children, they'll kill themselves. The unknown. We're afraid of the unknown. Oh, wait. God knows everything. We're afraid something's going to happen that we have no control over. Oh, wait. God can control anything. We're afraid that something is coming upon us that we do not have the resources to deal with. Oh, wait. God is omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful. If we just remember who Daddy is, we wouldn't worry. We would have no fear. Not everybody has the experience that I did, but I am very grateful for one thing. Despite any other faults my father may have had, I never felt more safe than when Daddy was there. Because, you know the old, my daddy can whoop your daddy? My daddy could have whooped your daddy. And if he couldn't have, he had a little friend in his pocket. I'm telling you, I always felt safe. And whenever Daddy said everything is okay, everything was immediately okay because Daddy said it was okay. friends, our Heavenly Father is all powerful, all knowing. Whatever is coming up, it did not, you cannot throw a surprise party for God. You can't throw a surprise party. He knows everything. Whatever's coming up in your life, He expected it. It did not catch Him by surprise, even if it did you. Remember who God is. And then the next part of that, if you want to conquer fear, you better remember who you are. Who are we? God's children. I tell you what, every once in a while there's a parent that wants to, you know, just pinch your little head off. But what happens if somebody messes with one of your youngins? What happens? We are so beloved. He died for us, friends. What other do you need to know? He loves us head over heels crazy. So if He's all-powerful and loves us beyond any kind of reason, then what are we worried about? What could we possibly fear? But even if those two things don't do it, remember your past deliverances. One of the things that helped me when I was overcoming a spirit of fear was to remember all the times God saved my bacon. It's more times than I could count on my fingers and toes, I'll tell you that right now. Because, you know, like everybody who's young, I had no brain. You know? Some people actually never get a brain, but, you know, younger people, the younger you are, sometimes you do really dumb things. When I was young, I raced on the road. That was dangerous. God kept me from killing myself or anybody else. And I kidded myself that I was quick reflexes. And it was just fun. I've done all kinds of things, you know, without a clue as to how dangerous they were. God had to put me in a bubble. You know, He really had to have. I have been in two fires. Well, three if you count the time my car nearly exploded. When I went off a cliff and landed in a tree. Remember your past deliverances and start counting all those things that, you know, maybe you don't even know about. You're all here today, aren't you? Wonder what God protected you from to get you here. And if that is not enough, do this. Get out your Bible. And remember that giants are slain, walls come tumbling down, and the dead are resurrected. Remind yourself of who God is and the role that He plays in our lives. He has a plan. It's a good one. Now, next week, we're going to talk about anger and laying that down and how to do it. Because anger, John was talking about it today. Anger's hard to lay down. I'll tell you right now, how you all feel about what happened in Charleston and how John and I feel is probably a little bit different. Because somebody comes in here after my sheep, that's a whole different story. I briefly, very briefly, this passed through my mind this past week when this happened. Very, very briefly, I thought, you know, you don't know who this, what this might inspire in some other idiot. Maybe I'll take my gun to church Sunday. I thought about it. Because, like that pastor, they'll get to you over my dead body. Angry. And yet one of those mothers said, "You killed my son and I forgive you." I got news for you folks, I ain't there yet. So next week we'll talk about anger and how to lay it down. Maybe I'll have conquered a little more by then. But I want you to know that these weights that we have on us are keeping us from being all we can be. Let's lose them and sprint forward. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remind you,